waiting for Ian, yeah?
Hi, Craig.
I'm going mute.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching this, though.
Gotcha.
And I hate Craig.
Yeah, I don't know why. Craig is wonderful.
Welcome to Olympia, the land where things happen, but we don't care because tangents.
Okay, so you guys finally made it back to the village, even though it's only been four days since you left. Maybe it's been five. I don't fully remember. But we are not doing a regular episode. We're doing more of an interstitial. And we're also going to introduce our new player tonight. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do that just. But to kind of continue on from last, you guys made it back into the village and defeated the birds. And Sumita and everyone, or Sumita leads the party back towards the Night Stable Inn. And Sumita and the dude both go upstairs to get some much needed rest, where Toby and Proto are left downstairs as a new person comes in and takes a seat at the bar.
Where was I again?
You and Proto are both downstairs. Like, just you guys were just making your way back to the inn.
Oh, the inn, okay. Not the tavern.
Same place.
Oh, that's right. I think I'm just going to be sitting at the little bar, swinging my legs.
And as you are doing so, that's when our new friend comes in. And Robert, go ahead and introduce your character as you come into the bar.
Hello, everyone. I'm Silaspora. Not quite sure I ended up here, but the drink and tales of...
Hello. I don't really know where the person is. I look around. Do I see the lady? I can't remember her name right now.
Susie.
Yeah.
You don't see her, but you hear some like cooking noises coming from the back, which you remember is the direction of the kitchen.
Okay, so I'll kind of look around and look at. You know what? I'll just get it, and I'll hop down off the counter and go around the bar. And what do you want?
Mead will do.
Mead? Okay, yeah, I'll pour him some mead and slide it to him. My head's just barely above the table.
And that's when Sue's kind of pops her head out of the curtain to the kitchen. And she kind of looks, gets really loud and says, "Who's that behind my counter?"
I forget again.
And then, so as she yells that out, she notices that it's you, Toby, that's standing behind there. And you just hear so many things fall to the ground as she runs and glomps on you.
Oh, God.
Just a very big hug.
All right, that's enough. After she's done hugging me, I guess I'll go and back around the other side and climb up onto a bar stool and just sit there swinging my legs.
Yeah, and she walks out from behind and just, she has the biggest smile on her face. And Toby, it's so good to see you. You have to tell me all about what went on.
That voice.
Well, I killed a bunch of girls and then we killed a bunch of birds. We found Proto. He's right here.
Can I make a, what's it called, a perception roll? Because I feel like something's off. Because last we remember, I remember she was in dire help, so-called Proto duplicate.
No, she just said that there was a dwarf. Sumita is the one who said he or she didn't feel good about the situation and wanted to run back.
Was it Seuss or was it the elder that I was writing to on that paper?
Susie.
Okay.
Around.
So, where are you from?
No, that part's farm.
That's not good.
She just kind of looks over, and that's really sad. I understand why you don't want to remember that.
I don't know how. I think I might have, but I'm here now.
Maybe you were brought back.
Brought back.
Who has those sugar skulls? Is it Sumita?
They're on Sumita.
Okay. So I point. I'm assuming she's around. I pointed those, and I said, as those brought her back, maybe something like that can happen for you. I don't know. You've died more than once.
The last thing you got.
Can I do, like, an Arcana check or something on... I'm sorry, what was the name again? Spora?
Spora.
Yeah, can I just kind of Arcana check or something?
Yep. Go ahead and do straight Arcana if you want to just be like...
Hey, everyone. Sorry about that. Our recorder bot decided to not work at this point, and we just kept going through the story. So, since I don't have that audio, I'm gonna do my best to remember it. And so, here we go, let's see. Spora and Toby kind of turn and look over into the corner after they talk to Seuss for a little bit, and they see the dwarf body of Proto. As they go up, they kind of look at him, and he's a dwarf. He is exactly what Proto looked like. Now, after that, they, and by they, I am talking about Spora, who does use they-them pronouns. Spora goes ahead and they dig into the dwarf's memories. They find out that his name was... God damn it. Sorry, they find out that his name is Carson. And as they go through Carson's memories, Spora then uses the minor illusion spell to create an image of this in their hand. And I think this is about the point where we get back to the audio, so I'll let the rest of the party explain, because they do a better job of it than me.
Welcome back.
Fuck you, Craig. Stop leaving me. As Suze looks down into the display of the illusion going on in her hand, she kind of stares at it and says, "That's a very old version of the town. That was before I got here. But I've seen that thing in it."
So as I look past Joe's memory, the dwarf's Carson's body long before it was Proto's. So Proto was the one that was possessing for Proto's.
Correct.
Do you remember this, Proto?
No. I'm Proto.
Side note, that went down when Richard was gone.
I'm Proto. This guy he must be a high wizard. He's tricking you.
Dude, something. I don't know what's going on.
Something very weird going
on. Right? Does he uncover anything that I should know about amongst his talking? Where he came from and stuff like that and the six?
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the first part of that? You were choppy.
I'm wondering if I can do a roll persuasion roll to assimilate, like, you know.
Like, I get you want to check to see and verify within yourself?
Huh?
Yes, I got very... What are you trying to figure out?
I'm trying to figure out what... Because I'm seeing, like, him do... He's reading his mind or whatnot. He shows me this is what he saw. That don't make sense. I'm having, like... I feel like I'm having a little nervous.
Quiet, Richard. Kimberly.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I have him turned up to, like, 160%.
Oh, yeah. I'll turn him... I didn't turn down.
So I don't know. I'm just trying to... What are we doing with this guy? I kidnapped him. Guys, what's going on?
I'm trying to figure out what's...
And that's when Carson will just turn and look and say, well, if you can see my memories, can't you just look in at his?
I can. I walk over to Proto.
Hey, get the fuck off of it.
I cast Charm Person.
Ooh.
I got a 5. Okay, calm down. I start trying to do a lap dance.
And I cast Detect Thought.
And as you look back through his memories, you see it flipping. Almost like a page, but going backwards through time, where you see everything from when they were just outside of the... From when they were outside earlier and defeated the birds, as you work your way backwards. And after a weird blur, you see that Proto was indeed the Terminator thing at one point in time. It was just so very long ago, it's kind of hard to tell.
At the same time, I'm at minor...
Oh, and by the way, Proto,
isn't there a cost, though? Would he not be able to do it until he takes the rest?
Huh?
How many spell slots are these? Are these all permanent cantrips?
Took up second levels.
So we'll bump into somebody else.
You guys are at an inn. What are you expecting to happen?
Those are just my level. I still have my
level. Dragon shows
up. Still have my level.
I was thinking that would be better kids.
So we're in the same. What time is it?
I believe it's afternoon.
Hey, everyone. Sorry about that.
So,
okay.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. What's...
It happened before.
Sorry. Girlfriend was having a laughing fit.
No problem. Was it something funny?
Apparently.
Proto
had a malfunction.
Shock of everything.
I don't blame him. Can you... Spora, can you do that trick again where you show... the little thing in your hand? Well, no. Can you show the village elder this?
Yeah, I have the memory in back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have my notes, so I don't remember the name of the village elder, but I want to leave him. Yeah, I want to take him to Sai.
Yeah, so she's
kind of hearing the conversation, goes, oh, well, Sai shouldn't be too far. I think she went to go visit Tess up in the blacksmithery place thing.
Blacksmithery?
You know where to find him.
Smithy?
That's the word.
Have or I the Ford?
So back in the first two episodes, we had Tess, the Fire Genasi blacksmith, and as Toby, you take him, or take them, Spora, out to go meet them. You get outside the bar, or outside the tavern, and you are able to see Tess and Sai walking towards you. The village elder, who is a halfling and very old, has a 3-foot cane, and the Fire Genasi walking beside her is holding some armor. They are walking towards the tavern.
Sai!
And her ears kind of prick up a little bit as she, like, in the blink of an eye, she is somehow 50 feet closer to you.
So this is my new friend, Spora. Can I show you something? Or can Spora show you something?
And Sai, being old and feeble, just kind of looks up at this new person and says, if you have something that Toby wants to show me, go ahead and show it, child. And Sai kind of looks down and looks off to the side and goes, I remember that day. Nobody here had a good time.
Yeah, I'm not having a good time either. This is really confusing.
That was the last time that we let people go down the hole.
Dude.
Nobody, or only a couple of them, made it back alive, and we just can't have that on our conscience. We had to tell people to stop going down.
So wait, did Proto come out of the hole?
You mean that metal thing?
Yeah,
it came out of the hole.
What? So Proto's from the pit.
And that's when you kind of see, like, the dots connecting behind Sai's eyes, and he goes, that was Proto?
I think
so. And so as she was dots and calls that out, she kind of waves over for Tess. And as he walks up, you can see and hear large pieces of metal as they clink, clank. And as he catches up and gets to the same area as everyone, he kind of just looks down. I'm going to say that Proto is not with you guys, but okay. He looks down and says, oh, I made some armor for Proto. He seemed to really like getting into fights.
Yeah, but did you just hear that? I think Proto's from the pit.
And out of curiosity, do you still have the little Terminator image up, Robert? Oh, do you still have your illusion? Yeah, the Terminator one. And as you say that, he kind of looks at your hand. He's also of a normal size. He's about 6 feet tall. He kind of looks closely at it, and you see him kind of shudder and says, I know that design.
What design?
That robot. I know that design. I built it.
Nuh-uh.
Must be more than just a blacksmith like that.
And that's when he walks. He says, well, then maybe you should all come and see what I've been working at in my shop. And as he takes the three of you back to his shop, he opens a door and it leads downstairs to a basement level storage. And as you look around it, you see along the walls what appear to be little marionettes. But instead of being made of wood, they are made of different kinds of little light metals and different things. They each are, if they look like people, but they're only about a foot in height. And as you scan along the rooms, you see more and more of them as they get bigger the further back you look. And towards the very back of this storage room, you see just this one that's almost 12 and a half feet tall, and they're all exquisitely made.
Did I know about this before?
You did not.
So I'm looking at this, and then I kind of look around the room, and I look back at Tuss, and I'm like, nuh-uh. And I just kind of like wander around touching things.
He kind of looks and says, well, that's something that I was never proud of. And he pulls down the front of his robe, and they're branded into his flesh. You see carved a large spiral symbol. I'll show it to you guys later.
but you see it, and it takes up almost the entire left side of his chest. It is branded in there, and it's deep. It is a scar that he's lived with for a long time. And he says, I used to work in Fae. I was the one who was designing these toys for Zaz. I didn't realize that he actually would use them.
Toys, you say?
And he gets very interested when he hears you say the word toy, as he lifts a finger and snaps one of them, about a doll almost the size of you, kind of floats off the wall towards him and into his hands, and you see it right in front of you. It's the size of you, except not fat. And he says, yes, a toy. Here, watch it dance, as he lets it go, and it begins dancing all by itself.
That's wonderful.
And that's when he sits down, but the doll continues to move as it goes over to the wall and pulls down a smaller doll, this one about 3/4 its size, and puts it down. And that one, and the first doll snaps. When that happens, the smaller doll also begins to dance as the two dolls dance along in unison.
I'll be right back. And so Toby rushes outside as fast as he can, even though it probably seems super slow. And you could just hear like him breathing super heavily.
As you see the two dolls that are currently dancing, they each go and pick another doll off the wall. The two that they pick out are both very small and maybe a foot and a half in height. As both of the previous dolls snap their own fingers, the two smaller dolls come to life and begin to dance along. And they go from dancing to doing almost a choreographed, like, synchronized swimming routine, except they're standing. And each time that they finish doing their little dance routine thing, they go and they pick one of the other dolls off the wall and snap their fingers. And soon the entire wall has been emptied of dolls, with the exception of the very large one in the very back. They're all down there, and they're all dancing around.
Can I do an arcana?
Mm-hmm. Right. What would you like to arcana check on?
I got 26.
20. That's a 19 on the die?
Got a natty 20.
Okay. So as you kind of are surrounded by all these little and not so little dancing dolls, that's about the same time as Toby makes his way back down and
breathing heavily, super, super heavy, just going down each stair. And I pull out this dog, wooden dog in my hands. And I go, can you teach me how to bring this to life?
And as Toby is saying this, you almost try to see the magic and to see what kind of spell work is or what kind of spells are being woven. And you see absolutely not a single thing around Tuss at this moment. You see, as you look over at the dolls, that each of them has seemingly a blue spark just embedded in their chest area. And that's when you realize that none of them are connected to each other. Each have their own spark of magic that gives them life. And that is when Tess will turn and say, it was one of the tools I picked up. I was training to be an artificer. I worked with the armor, and I worked with some puppetry masters early on in my life. They figured that me making puppets would be the best thing to contribute. And they taught me how to build these robots. This is a very special kind of magic. Not everyone can do it, and it's very dangerous for those who can't. And as you see that, he kind of snaps his fingers one more time as every single doll instantaneously stops moving. And you see them just beginning to glow this soft blue. Toby, you would recognize the same soft blue as from when you did the spell and the thing to bring Proto's new body. It's that same kind of blue glow.
Can you remind me again what, because that was a while ago. Was it when I...
So the extra special water from the hydroponics that Samita had mixed with your artificer magic made Proto his new body.
Right, okay. And this is like, this is the same.
It's that same kind of blue glow.
Okay. And I go, I don't think those are souls. This is really freaky. Tuss, why do I have these abilities?
And he kind of looks over and says, well, they're not souls. It's just magic. And if you were able to have and use this kind of magic, then there is so much more I have to teach you. And he goes, reaches up to a shelf behind him and pulls down a pair of sunglasses and hands them over to you and says, there's so much you could do with something so simple. Just work your magic on it. Let it grow. You'll find out. Your power is only limited by your creativity.
I put the sunglasses on.
They are just sunglasses.
But I look cool.
Big ol' aviators, too.
So I kind of go silent and just deep thought, I guess, as I'm holding that dog, wood dog, or whatever toy that I got. And I'm just kind of staring at it.
And that's when Tuss kind of leans in a little bit closer to the both of you, right in between you, and says in a lower tone, if you want to learn some of this magic, I can show you how it works. I can show you some of the things that you can do. And as for you, the one who Spora, was it?
Uh-huh.
Let's go show you what kind of magic we're talking about. Toby, bring that dog and let's go down to the hydroponics. And we're going to take a quick little break because bio break.
Okay. Who do you play? Sorry.
Twiddles a Corey Hart song.
Oh.
Because sunglasses. It'd be like a wizard's house, like all the copper sulfate would mean fire cloud.
A green fire cloud out in the middle of Oregon. But your blackberries would be gone. No, they wouldn't.
Or blackberries.
Okay, that was a very good break. I thought you had your filter hooked up for your well.
Clean. Gross. My damn meat already.
No, you can save it for like 2 more weeks.
No, get now.
Save it for 2 more weeks and the three of us can get drunk.
It's like 6%.
Good, we'll get really drunk. Also, Gesinte.
Clean bottles for bottling.
I mean, we can do that too. Okay, so back to D&D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you exit out of the shop and he leads the two of you, leaving Sai in the shop, saying that the three of you are going to go, nope, never mind, I lied. I'm sorry. All of you head out down towards the large waterfall to the south of the village where Frodo almost drowned, which was hilarious. But also, you get closer, you can kind of see a almost magical glow around it. Not really, like, glow is the wrong word. There's, like, a weird invisible layer that you can kind of see around it. I'm trying to think of an example of what I'm trying to say. It's like the heat thing. You know how when it's really hot, there's those weird, like, distortions from the heat?
Okay, yeah. Like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it looks like that, but around all the water. And as you get closer to it, you kind of, now that your magic has grown stronger, the both of you are able to kind of get a feel for this very powerful presence of magic. And as you do get all the way up close to the water's edge, you can, as you look down, you see just a source of bright blue light kind of swimming around in the water. It is huge. As the both of you kind of see it down there, you see it kind of growing in size and almost getting closer. You can't really see any details on it besides just glow inside of the water. But it gets all the way to the surface and breaks it. And you see before you a large elemental creature. It is a water weird. And it is glowing a very bright blue. As you see the fire Ganassi test just walk up, hold his hand out, and the elemental creature just kind of lowers its head and drops a few little droplets of water onto Tess's hand, which he then walks over to you, Toby, and lets the water droplets fall onto your dog. And he will whisper to you, this is the magic that can bring things to life. It's up to your magic to control it.
Nuh-uh. How long's this thing been here?
And as you say, nuh-uh, your little doggy begins to glow, very soft blue at first, but it grows as the seconds pass. He has a little wooden dog.
It's something I've been working on for quite some time. So as I see this thing start to glow, I kind of like, I get on my knees, which would typically make people like get low, but like I feel like even if I got on my knees, I don't drop as much. I get on my knees and I like pet the dog, or the wooden dog's head, I should say, and be like, "Are you alive?"
And as you pet it, you feel a strange tingliness, kind of almost like a transfer of energy from your hand to this wooden dog as it begins to move about and bark and yip.
And so I go, "Holy crap, are you seeing this?"
As my character is looking at the bolt, some sort of skull that my pocket skull in the water.
Number one, are you chucking the skull, or are you just kind of like pulling it out and asking the creature?
I'm asking it out now.
Okay, I was going to say, because if you're just going to chuck shit inside the water, you're about to get attacked. So you pull it out, and as you kind of hold it up, asking if they can bring it back, you see Tess looking over, and as he looks up to the very large water beast, he says, "Unfortunately, there is no magic that we can do to bring a skull back."
Worth trying.
As you kind of put it away. Off the table, what are you trying to do with the skull?
The skull of Ayn.
Okay, I should know that, but I'm stoned.
And then also, is Samita with us, or is...
Samita stayed back at the inn.
Okay, so I'll look at Spora and say, you know, okay, first of all, thank you, and I bow towards the water spirit, and then I look at you. Second, that thing might not be able to bring it back, but maybe Samita's sugar skulls can bring something back.
Think that. No body, it's skull. I think that would...
It brought him back when he didn't have a body. Or her. Sorry, I just recently found out it was a woman, not a man. I thought it was a man. It really freaked me out. I touched his boob, but we're just keeping that a secret. If she asked, I didn't do it.
If she has a problem with it, my...
I didn't Yeah, it was weird. Okay, moving on.
I'm sorry, I'm so busy laughing. So, yes, as you guys all kind of gather up, Tess takes another look up at the large water elemental spirit thing guy, person thingy.
Can I do one more thing?
Yeah.
Can I roll a persuasion on the monster? Or on the water ganassi?
On the water spirit?
Yes.
Can.
Okay, roll a 12.
Give me just a sec. That is against persuasion is wisdom. That's just going to be a straight d20, and that is a 4, so.
Woohoo! I won my roll.
Huh?
So I won?
Yes.
This is going to be a weird question, but can I drink you?
And as you speak that, it kind of just doesn't fully understand and looks over at the fire ganassi, who then looks at you and then back up to it, and you hear it whisper in this primordial language. Or do you speak primordial?
Deep speech, draconic.
Okay. So in just this very primordial language, you can't exactly tell which one it is. He says some things to which this large creature kind of turns and sinks down into the water and then resurfaces as the fire ganassi walks or brings over a water skin. That's the word I was looking for. And says, "You can't drink it, but you can have some of its water and its magic."
Thank you.
As Tuss holds up the water skin, you see the large elemental kind of pour it from its mouth into the water skin, and it's very messy and gets all over the place, but the water skin is full. I am going to mark that in my paper notes.
I have water.
At this point, I should also mention that Toby's dog is still glowing blue and is becoming more and more lifelike, not in like appearance, but just in its actions and stuff. The barking seems to be like a learned behavior now.
Quiet.
Your doggy, or your little wooden doggy, is getting smarter by the moment. And so with everything full and up, the two of you and Tess and Sai make your way back towards the inn as Samita and Proto have been spending the entire last while talking to Toby's parents and explaining what's been going on. And, you know, just letting them know that you're okay. Some stuff kind of went down, but nothing all that horrible. And I think that's also going to be a good time to call the session, because everything else is going to be a lot, and I need to know if Richard is done or not.